Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. You are great, you are great, you are great, you are great. Everything written about you is great. Father, we ask that the entrance of your word will increase the intensity of your light in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Roy Yemi, thank you for that word. Understanding is the key. We can have our seats in God's presence. Amen. Well, welcome once again to Word Encounter. This is Word Encounter, so it's going to be word. And the purpose of the word is that we come to the place of understanding. Jesus gave a parable, the parable of the sower. And he said, a sower went to the field to plant seed. How many of us remember that parable? And some fell among on the wayside, and then some fell on stony ground, and then some fell among thorns, and then some fell on good soil. And then he said that when the seeds, that the one that fell on the wayside, the birds of the air came and picked it. So that one didn't even have the opportunity to germinate. And there are some people that hear the word of God and it doesn't make any sense to them because of the cares, because of so many things. Because the devil, they are so much under the control of the devil that their understanding have been altogether darkened. They hear the gospel like this before it even begins to, before they begin to understand it, another thing just comes to take away the word of God from their heart. If only they could understand the word of God, they will grow. The second category are those that the word of God fell on stony ground. Their hearts were like stony ground. So after some time, it germinated and it started growing. But because there was no depth of earth, what happened eventually, the seed, the plant died out. Because it's just like you plant a plant on stone. There's just a little soil. After some time, it died. And Jesus Christ likened those people to the people who, when they are born again, after some time, because of persecution. Because I will tell you the truth, if you decide that you will follow Jesus, you will face persecution. The world does not like Jesus. Amen. There is a spirit that is in the world. The prince of the world, of this world, is Satan. And there is a spirit at work in the children of disobedience. And when you become born again, because the spirit of Christ now dwells in you, there is something about the Father, especially if you are living in accordance with the nature of Christ. The children of disobedience will not like you. Have you ever been in an office where they are doing all kinds of funny things and then you, because you refuse to do it, they are lying, they are stealing. Maybe it's a factory and they are stealing stuff. And because you are a Christian and you are in their midst and you wouldn't steal, you think the people that are stealing will like you? They won't like you. They will demarcate you. If they can even do anything to make them sack you, they will make them sack you. That's just a graphic example. But it even goes deeper than that. Because there is a spirit. This one is even spiritual. You may even be very nice to them. There may be nothing particularly that you are doing that is, but there is something about the spirit that is at work in them that just hits your guts. And if you have not experienced that, either you have not been a Christian long enough, or your Christianity is not strong. Your faith is not yet strong. Because if your faith is strong, there will be something about you that the world will not just like. Jesus Christ said, the world hated me. Don't think that the world will not hate you. Amen? So when you become born again, there are some people that used to show you love in quotes before that will no longer show you love because they realize that you are now born again. Especially when you have chosen to let your light shine. Because it's possible for you to be born again and it's just you. It's just the difference between born again you. Is what made the difference was that he came out for altar call. Nothing else changed. That kind of born again, we still need to investigate whether God acknowledges that born again. You know, some people say they are born again because they came out for altar call. Apart from that altar call that they came out for and said that 3 minute prayer, nothing else changed in their life. Whereas, when a person truly accepts Jesus Christ, one of the first things that must happen is that you must repent. The Bible calls this in Hebrews chapter 6 as repentance from dead works. So it means that there are some things that you were doing that you will practically stop doing. And there are some things that you were not doing that you will practically start doing. If there is no repentance in your life, your salvation is questionable. Now, so that seed fell among the stony soil. So after some time, they died out because when persecution came, their understanding of the gospel did not accommodate that aspect. Because one thing about the gospel is that the gospel is preached to the poor. You don't offer somebody something. People generally do not go for things that they don't need. Amen? So in order for the gospel to be relevant, now when I say the gospel is preached to the poor, I don't mean that you have to be financially poor in order for the gospel to be relevant to you. What I'm saying is that in order for the gospel to be relevant to you and you accept the gospel, you have to recognize your need for God. And there are many things in your life that can bring you to the point where you recognize your need for God. So some people, it was a sickness, it was a disease. For some people, it was just, they got to a point where they realized that their lives are empty. And they were coming to a place of despondency because they found life to be altogether meaningless. You know, Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Because the yoke in the world is difficult and the burden in the world is heavy. It's not easy to be competing with people all your life. It's not easy to be meeting up with the Joneses. It's not easy to be living a fake life. You know how difficult it is to live a fake life? And that is just the beginning of the explanation of the yoke that is in the world. Because whether you like it or not, in this world you are yoked. Either you are yoked to the prince of this world, or you are yoked to the prince of peace. And he said, "My own yoke is what? It's easy. And my burden is what? It's light." May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. So some people's understanding of the gospel does not accommodate the fact that persecution may come. So when persecution came, they couldn't take it. And what happened? They fell away. They went back to the world. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, he said, "Abide in me." He said, "I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman." He said, "Any vine that abides in me is that vine that will be fruitful." He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." You cannot be fruitful without the Lord Jesus Christ if you are a believer. Are you understanding my point? Because there are many things that you will no longer be able to do that unbelievers will do. So if you do not have the power of Jesus in your life, you will be very miserable. When they will cheat to pass an exam, you cannot cheat. And you know that if you would have cheated in that exam, you will pass. So you need the power of Jesus to help you so that you will not need to cheat and you will be fruitful. There are many things that is acceptable. There are many things that go out there that you cannot do. Somebody was telling me about marriage. And he was trying to explain to me how that, you see, if you want to marry the Christian way, go about it properly the Christian way. Because there is something called compatibility. There are some people that It is until they start living together that they realize that they are not compatible. Are you understanding my point? They are very compact. They like each other, but it's until they start living together, sleeping and waking up in the same house, that they realize that they are not compatible. Now, how do you answer that question for a person who, because he's a Christian, will not live with the person he wants to marry until they marry? So if you want to marry the Christian way, you better know Jesus and know how to hear Jesus. Because it is Jesus that knows how to arrange that compatibility. It's him that knows the person that you are compatible with and the person you are not compatible with. So you have to hear him all the way. Because there are things that the people in the world will do. They will check themselves. They will test themselves. You can't do it. If you try it, you are a reprobate. If you try it, you know, in fact, you can't. You don't even have the ability to try it. Because you are a kingdom person. Where you see them living together, cohabiting, living in sin and shame. You can't do it. So, how will you be able to check all of those compatibility indices? And that is why Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. When you have made up your mind that you will follow Jesus, you better follow him very well. Because the things that unbelievers are doing, you cannot do it. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. So their level of understanding did not accommodate the fact that when it didn't have the ability to handle persecution. Then there was another category. That's not our topic, so I'm just brushing over it. There was another category. This was the seed that fell among thorns. The seed that fell among thorns. And Jesus Christ said, these are those that it's not growing, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked them and made them unfruitful. You will notice that unlike the first category and the second category, this third category did not necessarily die. It's just that they were unfruitful. I have said that story here more than once of an orange tree we had in my compound, my father's compound. And that orange tree was an unfruitful tree. It was unfruitful because for many years it didn't bring any fruit. Even when it was now supposed to bring fruit. Then when it started bringing fruits, sometimes in a whole year it would bring three fruits. A tree. The tree was not even big. It didn't grow big. We said, okay, it is agric. It was unfruitful. So it is possible to be alive and be unfruitful. Open your Bible to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we'll be reading chapter 1. Then someone read verse 6. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 6. And to knowledge add temperance, and to temperance patience, yes. And to patience goodness.
And to goodness brotherly kindness.
And to goodness brotherly kindness.
And brotherly kindness charity.
And to brotherly kindness charity. Continue.
For if those things be in you.
For if those things be in you.
And about them make you that ye shall never be barren.
If they are in you and abound, they will make it such that you will not be barren nor unfruitful.
In the knowledge of our Lord
Jesus Christ. Slow down. What is the difference between being barren and being, just listen. What is the difference between being barren and being unfruitful? Because you say, it will make you that you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. Because it's possible, if you have a mango tree, that every year it produces 5 fruits, it's not a fruitful mango tree. We may not say it is a barren tree, but it is not a fruitful, because it's not full of fruit. And that's why when Jesus Christ even talked about fruitfulness in that parable of the sower, he said some 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Anything that is less than 30-fold is not considered to be fruitfulness. Amen. Now, so you see that this third category, they did not necessarily die. It's just that they were not fruitful. And why was that? There were thorns that choked the plant. Thorns grew along with the plant and choked it, thereby making it unfruitful. This third category is very, very rampant in the church. Because there are many people, he says, if these things be in you, that place you just read in 2 Peter, he says, it will help you so that you will not be barren and unfruitful in your knowledge of God. Because this knowledge of God that we have is supposed to produce fruits in our lives. Amen? Amen. What is the point? Somebody say they know God. They say they are born again. But it is the witches in their village that are tormenting them. What kind of knowledge of God is that one? You find a person that says he knows God, and the same thing that happens to unbelievers happened to him. Whenever they say there is a statistic, they say 10% of people will die of COVID-19 in this community, and he could also by probability fall into that statistic. What is the, his knowledge of God is not fruitful. Whereas the Bible says, 1,000 shall fall by thy side and 10,000 by thy right side, and it shall not come near thee. Because this knowledge of God that we have is real and is fruitful. It produces fruit in every area. It produces fruit in your character. It produces fruit in power. It produces fruit in wisdom. It produces fruit in understanding. It produces fruit in peace. Jesus said, my peace I live with you. He said, the way I give you peace is not the way the world gives you peace. Because there is a way the world gives peace. How exactly does the world even give peace? The world gives peace through money. Have you ever been in a point in your life where when your money is, the money is finishing in your account, then you will lose your peace? Do I have any witness in the house? When money is finishing in your account, you just discover that as the money, your peace is directly proportional to the amount of money in your account. Because there is a level of peace that the world gives, that mammon gives. There's a level of security. Because you know that if you have money, there's a level of security it produces. But there is something that God can do for you. And I pray that we will receive that thing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Where nothing happening externally, not even in your account, will be strong enough to affect the peace in your heart and the security in your heart. You know one reason why money... You know, if you have money, even if they tell you now that, hey, while we were in a world encounter, your house caught fire and everything in your house burnt, and you have enough money, you know there's an extent to which you will cry. Yes. Even if your certificate burnt, you go and get it back. There's an extent to which you will what? You will cry. Because most of those things, you can replace them. That's what money does. It has a way of bringing, of giving you. So Jesus Christ acknowledged that there is a way the world gives peace. But he said, that is not the way I give you peace. Because the problem with the way the world gives peace is that the peace of the world is not stable. So whenever the money dries up, and you know money can dry up, your peace will also dry up. But the Lord does not want you to have that kind of flex, that kind of unstable peace. He wants to give you peace and security, that you know that no matter what happens, you have a God in heaven, and what you have with God is more potent than $1 billion in the bank. I pray that God will bring us to that level of peace in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You see, when that peace begins to work in your life, you will now discover that the power of God is not far, because there are measures of power that can only be accessed through peace. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know that there's an extent at which me and you will be at peace, that you can come to my house and enter my bedroom. It's a measure of, because I have peace. I'm not worried about the fact that you are in my bedroom, because I have peace with you. You can go into my bag where my certificates and all my most valuable things are, and I'm not worried because I have peace with you. I trust you. Do you know that you can also have peace with God, whereby you can access the deep things in God, because of your faith. And the measure of that peace will determine the measure at which you can access the deep things in God and the power of God. Are we together? May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. So it talks about those who the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke them and make them unfruitful. I don't know why this radio streaming keeps disconnecting. Amen.
Amen.
Make them unfruitful. Now, one of the things that will hinder your fruitfulness the most as a believer is the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. Have you seen a believer that is not, because no, and you can pray and do night vigil every night, but if you have not yet been delivered, your own understanding is not strong enough to deliver you from the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, you will just discover that your knowledge of God is not fruitful. Now, the fourth category was those that Jesus Christ said the seed fell on good soil. This one did not have stones, it wasn't rocky. This one didn't have thorns that sprouted to choke the word. And you know how Jesus Christ said, these are those that received the word of God with an honest heart and they understood it. Listen to me. The reason why the word of God will prosper in your life will be because you understand it. The people who the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches hindered from being fruitful, it was because of their level of understanding. Are we together?
Yes,
their level of understanding. Because there is a level of understanding of the kingdom of God that you will have, that you will know. You will know that you, this same you will rule and reign with Jesus on this earth. You know, it's just like somebody tells you that because you are in school, you've been in school for 4 years, you are doing a 5-year course, and maybe you were broke for a season. The person now tells you that you should drop out of school, that he will give you 50,000. That if you drop out of school, he will give you 50,000. You know that even when you graduate, your NYC allowance, when you calculate everything, it will be more than 50,000. But say you should drop out of school, that if you drop out of school, it will give you 50,000. Will you drop out of school? Why? Because you have more sense than that. There are many people that will drop out of school if they did not understand what they are doing in this school. If they did not understand what they will get as a result of that education. And that's what happens to many believers. When the devil is off, whatever it is that the world is offering you on the altar of compromise of your faith, it is actually even more ridiculous than saying drop out of school and I'll give you 50,000. Are you getting my point? It's more ridiculous. Because one of the things that Apostle Paul prayed that will happen to the believers, he said that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened. Ever since the head of their faith, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16. He said he didn't cease to pray to God that he may grant unto them that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they may know the hope of God's calling. Because God had something in mind when he saved you. And it is important for you to know it. Now, that's a function of maturity. Amen? Yes. God had something in mind when he saved you. He had something in mind when he created man. He had something in mind when he gave that ultimate sacrifice in order to save man. Somebody was trying to liken. It was the person that was giving this example. His children had goldfish. You know, some people have fishes in their house. Have you ever been to a house where they have fishes in their house? And his children have goldfish. And he was telling them, he was trying to explain to them the sacrifice of Jesus. He now said that if this your goldfish are in trouble and they are about to die, he said, will you be willing to turn to a goldfish temporarily to go and save those other goldfish? Some of them say, yeah, Shebi is to help. They love the goldfish. He now said, all right, will you be willing to turn to a goldfish and remain a goldfish all your life? Where is that noise coming from? Amen. Will you be willing to turn to a goldfish and remain a goldfish all your life? Amen. Okay, come and help me remove the keyboard wire from that. Alright. So will you be willing to turn to a goldfish and remain a goldfish all your life? And nobody was willing. You see, that was the sacrifice that Jesus made. Because do you know that even till today, he's still a man? He didn't change back to God. That was why it was important that God exalted him and gave him a name that was above every other name. Amen. The devil is a liar. So, you will see that, don't let that thing distract you. You will see that because of what God had in mind, the plans that God has for us, he made that sacrifice to save us. That sacrifice is stronger than anything, any sacrifice that you can make. In fact, there is nothing you can do for God that can equate to the sacrifice that God did in order to save you. That's why Jesus told his disciples, he said, how many of you servants, after he has worked in the field and all that, come back? He said, will you not tell him that, Father, I ask that I take control of this in Jesus' name. He said, will you not tell him that, go and prepare food for me before you tell the servant that I should sit down? Jesus Christ said, in like manner, Jesus said in like manner, hallelujah, amen. Jesus said in like manner, he said, when you have finished the work, say we are but unprofitable servants. One of the things that Jesus Christ was telling his disciples, you say, why would Jesus tell his disciples to say such a thing? Because one of the things that our Lord was teaching us, his disciples and us by extension, is that never in your heart have an entitlement mentality when you are dealing with God. It is very, very annoying and repulsive to God when you come to God with an entitlement mentality. What do you think you can do to God, you can do for God, that is equal to what he did for you? So whenever you come to God, come with an understanding of gratitude. With an understanding that you are a recipient of his grace. Pray in the name of Jesus. Don't ever pray with a merit, with your, we say, ah, God, because I did this, so you must hear me. It's good to do good things. Amen. It's a manifestation that you have the divine nature. Sorry, let me just fix this. They come with an understanding, because what God had in mind, let me tell you something. What exactly did God have in mind in saving you? What exactly did God have in mind in creating man? Because man, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said that vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. Because, and he was basically explaining life under the sun. If you do not understand life beyond the sun, life beyond just this earth, think about it. You are born, you go to school, you grow up, you marry. You people give birth to children. They grow up, they marry, you die. The cycle, it's vanity. The cycle continues. If you do not understand life beyond these 3 score years and 10, if you do not understand life beyond under the sun, you will live a life of vanity. It will be like chasing the wind. And it is very important. And that's why I thank God for the topic of understanding. Because one of the things that God will have us have is understanding. Because you need to understand that God had something in mind in creating you. And when you understand that, life can never again be vanity. Because there is something that God is doing in saving you. What did God have in mind in creating man? Why did God create man in his image and in his likeness? Why did he now say, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air? These things are things that you can only understand by the Holy Spirit. There are things that you can only understand. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not come into the heart of man, the things that God has proposed for them that love him. Now, why is it them that love him? Because what God was doing, amen? When God was creating a universe, a perfect universe, that is a reflection of him, his nature, of the harmony in the Godhead and the power in the Godhead and the beauty in the Godhead. When God was creating that universe, it was very important that he created sons and daughters that will be his representative in all of the spheres of existence. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It was very important that he created sons and daughters now. And that was why he created you, human beings, in the image, in his image and in his likeness. Because we were created to be sons of God. You know that, I don't know what's causing this. I don't know whether it's the microphone or it's the PA system, but it is well in Jesus' name. Now, you know that without, do you know how many of you are all members of a family? You know, if you are in a family where there is harmony and peace, a family is a very beautiful thing. If you are alone, without a family, no one that loves you, it can be very lonely, right? But you agree with me that when you marry, it's more beautiful than if you marry properly. It's more beautiful than when you are alone. I'm just using these things to explain eternal things. And then when you have children, a family is a very beautiful thing. Because there are now people that love each other. Amen? All right, just a minute. Amen. Sorry, we'll just do without that. Our recording is still. Hallelujah. All right. So, you will agree with me that having a family where people love one another is a more beautiful thing, and there is more that you can accomplish through your family than you can accomplish as an individual. Because let's say you had a big company and you had 5 sons. Now that company can have branches in 5 other cities because you have people that can run that company in those cities. And those sons, because they grew up under you, they have your wisdom, they'll be able to run that company the way you would have run the company if you were in that environment. You get what I'm saying? Now, there's something that God was doing when God created man. God was creating a universe in which he will have children that will be his representatives and that will be his proxies, that will be his sons, and that will rule over the whole of the universe. Because when God created you, if you think about the universe is very big. Right? Universe is very big. Now, this is my own personal theory. I'm not saying this as scripture. There is very good reason, whether scripturally, to believe that the only planet that has life is planet Earth. You know why? Because this is the planet that the Lord God came to rule over. The reason why this planet could have life, even, don't even think of, look at the animal life. is because the Lord God came to rule over this planet. But there are many other planets that don't have. Now, do you remember how disorderly planet Earth was before the Lord God came and started saying, let there be light, and started allowing things to grow and creating the animals and all of that? Now, can you imagine when he has been able to raise sons and daughters like him that can rule over planets? Are we together? That can rule over planets. That instead of him to go to another, because there are trillions of planets, literally. I mean, there are thousands of billions of stars. And if you understand the universal physics, there's something called universal gravity and all of that. If you understand that, you will know that planets cannot exist without a star. They practically orbit stars. Every star you see out there, most of them are bigger than our sun. And most of them have planets that orbit them. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Now, you will see that this planet Earth was pretty much like most of the other planets that our scientists have used all these their telescopes, you know, to see. Because they say the planet is cold, even if they have water, it's frozen, there's no life there. Our planet was pretty much like that. In fact, I think it was even worse. And then the Lord came, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. He created the sun and all of that. And now, if you are a scientist, you understand that the reason why the earth has flowing water, not frozen water, is because of the heat of the sun. Take away the sun. If the earth doesn't have a sun, what will happen is that the earth will freeze over. And life will cease. So what God was doing was that he was creating a family, people that will be his representatives, that will rule and reign over the universe. And the first thing that God created, just like when we got to the earth, you realize that the first things that God created on the earth was not man. What did God create first? He created all kinds of things that will help to support the ecosystem, that man will come and be at the top of the ecosystem. So we have the plants, and then we have the animals. And you know that the animals are a very important part of the ecosystem. Right? The reason why your fruit grows is because bees carry nectar, whatever, all of that. They are a very important part of the ecosystem. And first of all, he created all of that before he created man as the last to rule over everything. And that's how it was spiritually. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you understand this thing properly, you see that when he created the heavens, I'm not even just talking about the sky. I'm talking about the spirit realm. We talk about dominions, thrones, dominions, principalities and powers. What happened was that the principalities and powers were created first. They are lower.